The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, have to put my hand on top of my head right now because I'm headbanging. Love that music. Da-na, 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 da-na. Hopefully you people like it too. If you're into country and western, maybe TNT's not the station for you. Although I have heard some country twangs over some other people's material. I think maybe the music is selected to suit the producers or the hosts or the presenters. Nicola, what do you think? Do you think metal is representative of us? Should we have some jazz in there? Maybe a little bit of pop music? What do you think?
I think metal is representative of you, Rick. And if it was going to represent me, oh, it wouldn't work really, because I'm into the old stuff like Ian Brown, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. The Stone Roses, very much. Big fan of them too. I like a lot of music, by the way, but I have a heart, a real heart for metal and rock. Just can't help it, really. It's been in me since, you know, I was a kid listening to that. They do. I mean, like, I listen to everything, instrumental stuff, ambient stuff, electronic music, the whole shebang. But I do, if I had to just listen to one type of music, there's certain bands that I really like that veer on the heavier side of things. But a little bit of a mixture is good, don't you think? A little bit of variety is the spice of life.
Yes, variety is the spice of life. There was a concert by the Chili Peppers in Melbourne last night, and they had one in Sydney a few nights before that. And there was the press are calling everyone whingers, like a whinging pom, because they didn't play a lot of their hits. They didn't play Under the Bridge. They didn't play Dark Necessities. What goes on with bands when they don't come and play all their hits, Rick? What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, number one, I did see the Chili Peppers in 1991 when they were at their absolute prime, in my opinion, and they were playing all their hits. At least there were hits back in those days. And I think, don't forget, those guys have been going since the 80s now. They first came onto the scene back in the 80s. And to be honest, no one thought they were going to amount to much. They were kind of a joke rap metal crossover type band, and then they had the Blood Sugar album, which Rick Rubin produced, and Under the Bridge was on it. They became humongous after that album, and they've really been around ever since. And I suppose after so many years, they've been playing those songs day in, day out, night in, night out. They're maybe just tired of them, and they want to do something else. But let's be honest about it, their best material, I think, is behind them. So whilst we want them to play the oldies, they're tired of playing the oldies. They want to play the newies. It's not a good business model. You need to give your audience what they want, don't you really?
You know, they ask you that in like those Vox Pops where they stop you on the street. That's one of the questions they always ask, right? They always say, do you think your best years are behind you or ahead of you? And it's like such a depressing question. I really hope my best years are ahead of me. I hope they're in radio. But I've got some pretty good years behind me as well. But yeah, I think you're right with that band. And I wonder, because they're like 60, 61 now, like what's fueled them for all those years, Rick? How do you think they keep going?
Cocaine. They're absolute cokeheads, and they made no secret about it. And heroin addicts and alcoholics and who knows what. They were very frisky with their fans backstage as well. So they've been dabbling in a lot of things that have sustained them. Think Rolling Stones as well. I mean, like, look at Keith Richards. Keith Richards has literally pickled himself over the years, and he's still on stage rocking out hard with the Stones, even after, what, 60, 65 years? I don't know how long those guys have been going for. An age. Mm. But yeah, I did see them back in the day, and they were very good, actually. And they had a guy called Henry Rollins was the support act at the time. He's now, he was in a punk band called Black Flag. He now has a great career in spoken word. He literally travels the world doing stand-up, talking about his life. He's an author. He runs a publishing company, a book company. So Yes, the best, Nicola, you mentioned it. You know, you're asked the question, is the best behind you? Is it before you? Which way do you sit? My personal take on life is the best is yet to come, because if you don't believe that, then you're on a downhill slide into the grave if you think your best days are behind you rather than before you. So I like to try and stay a little bit upbeat and say, no, my best years have yet to come. They are not behind
me. Okay, I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you, Rick. What do you think? Now, tell me if this person's best days are behind them or ahead of them. Hunter Biden.
Well, Hunter's most interesting days are certainly ahead of him, I'll tell you that much. That guy has a lot of interesting events yet to happen to him in life. That guy, I mean, like, let's face it, we all have done things in the past, every single one of us, that probably we shouldn't have done. We've all made mistakes in life. Some people learn from those mistakes, in which case the mistakes are worth making. There's no better teacher than life itself to wrap you over the knuckles, give you a shake, maybe kick you into the gutter for a while. But if you can pick yourself up and learn from it, great. I don't think Hunter has been learning from his past experiences. From what I can see, he seems to be hell-bent on destruction. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in that guy's shoes. I'm not casting stones per se. I'm not perfect myself, but he is on another level. And his father, the whole Biden dynasty is pretty rotten. And his father has been a rotten individual for a very, 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 very long time. So as they say, the apple sometimes doesn't fall too far from the tree. And I think that's what you're seeing with Hunter Biden, Nicola.
Yeah, there was just breaking news before we came on air that his legal team had sent out letters to everyone, even the guy who repaired his laptop, but also, you know, the Bobolino guy and everyone that's been talking about it, to preserve the records from the laptop and from hell for future legal action against them, because they've gone out and spoken about it. And my first instinct was, oh, we will, Hunter. We will be preserving that. Don't you worry.
I think there's a lot of fat. You know what it's like with the internet? When things are on there, they never get erased. It's impossible to erase them out of society, because somebody can download it, take a screenshot of it, rip it off onto a hard drive, whatever they need to do. So even if the Hunter Biden laptop and every official copy of what was on it disappears, I know the files are all over the place. There's no getting away from that one. So Hunter can run potentially, but he absolutely can't hide from the evidence that's out there. But then again, it asks the question, will there ever be justice given who he is while his father's still in situ, while the Biden dynasty still exists? It's highly questionable, Nicola. We've known about this for, what, years now. The contents are not secret. They've been posted online. I mean, they're graphic. They're disgusting. And they're gruesome, but the guy's still walking around with an illegal gun charge hanging over his head. You know, at one point that was what they were going to chase him for. It's a sick old setup. There is no justice.
Yeah, I think it's interesting though. It could be an interesting one that could backfire on them. This whole preserve the records, please. We're going to take you to court, because I think this in a way could work against the whole digitization agenda, because I think his case will show that once, you know, because that laptop did become the property of the guy who repaired it, that once that information is disseminated digitally, there's really nothing you can do. So it sort of works against the whole digitization of the world thing. So I'm wondering if there can be some kind of, some kind of correlation made there, and have it work against the agenda of the government. And oh, the irony, because it's Hunter Biden. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Time will tell on that one. By the way, you lovely listeners out there, this is obviously a session whereby we throw the lines open, which I love that expression, we throw the lines open. If anybody wants to call in, we'll do that at about 20 past. Normally we would have a chat with D.D. Denslow, the legend himself, but he's a little bit poorly today. He's bit under the weather, so he won't be joining us. So should I say, in memoriam for Darren, he did send a story through that he wants us to talk about. And if you're listening, Darren, get well soon, mate, and hopefully
get well soon,
back
Darren.
On the airwaves sooner rather than later. But he dug out a story that we were going to discuss, so we'll do it anyway. Italian bakery is to make bread with insect powder. The ingredients will include processed crickets, the restaurant owner says. Okay, so this is something, Nicola, as you well know, has been they're seeding this idea into our minds about eating bugs. Of course, course, people aren't just going to start doing it. It has to be introduced as a concept. The waters have to be tested. They're actually rolling out bug snacks in schools, trying to get kids interested in them rather than McDonald's. They want to start pestering their kid or their parents for, you know, bug burgers. But in Italy, the European Commission ruled last month, which was January, that partially defatted and powdered house crickets, Agita domesticus is the Latin name, I think, can be marketed. That's a good way to do it, actually. Instead of saying you're eating locusts, just say this is an Agita domesticus loaf. It sounds pretty funky and a little bit organic on it, but it's actually defatted and powdered house crickets. So those can be sold and marketed in the EU. The powder is sometimes used as an additive to make the product richer with protein, and on it goes. But here's the interesting one. Here's the killer, I think. The higher production costs, and because the bread would be custom made, the price would be around about $20 per kilogram. I mean, like, let's face it, if you're going to be trying to get people to eat bug loaves, I would have thought you would have been cutting the price down as low as possible. Would you? I mean, like, I don't think you would eat them anyway, but would you give over a $20 bill for a bug loaf, really?
No, you know what? This is so disgusting, and it makes me really nervous now because I have this lovely bakery near me, and it does lots of, you know, home-baked, bakery-baked breads that has all these sort of black lumps of bits and stuff in it, and I don't know what it is, but now my brain thinks it's a bug. But I have a really interesting story about this, actually, because you say, oh, they're trying to convince kids with bug snacks. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. My son was offered one of those, like a packet of crisps, and it was a packet of crickets in his state school before we wrapped pulled him out of that one. And but here's the thing. My son also likes a particular brand of chips or crisps for the UK in Australia, and he likes them because they're chili flavored and you cannot get that boy's tongue hot enough. He likes hot chips. So he's been eating them for quite a while, sort of over a year. And then when all this started about the bugs, and they'd taken these bugs into his primary school and said, you know, do you want a little packet of bugs? They're free. They're from the government. And he said, no, thank you. When we went to the supermarket next, we started looking and checking all of the ingredients on chips, on bread, anything we were buying. And the packets of chili chips that he was eating by a very, very famous brand in Australia, I won't say them, I've already had them on Twitter for it, has bugs in it. And they admit it. And it's a little kind of crawling bug. And it says it's for color and flavor. I mean, who you wanted the flavor of chili, not the flavor of a bug. So when you talk about the bread and it's going to cost more and taking the snacks into schools, Rick, they're slipping this rubbish into our food already.
Yeah. Yeah. Because let's face it. Okay. Let's face it. Who actually, I mean, a lot of people just go in and they buy food, and I know the best way to do it is grow your own vegetables, have chickens, get them to lay eggs, filter your tap water, do everything the best way you can. That's the ideal way that we should be living and eating. But of course, it doesn't always work like that. A lot of people just go to a supermarket, they load their trolleys up with the weekly shop, they stick it in a freezer, they stick it in the fridge, and then they eat their way through it, say, over the course of a week. How many people genuinely actually, and I'm talking about the masses here rather than individual people, but as a whole, people don't stand and analyze the contents of their milk or whatever's been added to their loaves of bread. They just don't do it. They just chuck it in the trolley and away they go. So as you say, people could be eating stuff oblivious to what's in there. And even if they did, it will be named maybe as the Latin name for what the cricket is, or say it's defatted this, or it's organic that. And if you add organic or low fat before something, people think, oh, that's a good thing, even though it's maybe not. It's a ground up cricket, and God knows what could be flying around it, or what could be harbored inside that little thing's shell like body that'll be ground up into powder, and then you will ingest it. And don't forget as well, this will have a cumulative effect. So I would say if you eat one loaf of cricket powder bread, maybe. I don't think that one loaf will do you any harm, but if you get into the way of eating those loaves, it's a bit like, you know, any toxicity in your body can build up over a period of time. Get it into a habit, get it into the body, or slowly, slowly, poison them slowly, slowly, like fluoride and water. I don't think it's going to do us any good, Nicola.
No. And I've got two things to say about that really quickly. The first one is, can we trust the ingredients on the side of food? I mean, now they're brazenly saying, hey, there's bugs in your kids' chips. Because why are we allowed to see the ingredients in food, but we weren't allowed to know the ingredients in the vaccines? That's all redacted. So that's one question. The second question is this. You've got to go down the food chain, right? We've got to go down the food chain because these bugs, there must be thousands, millions of them wherever they're breeding them to put into food, or they have been putting in food. Now, these bugs have to feed on something. Now, we don't know. You're already talking about composting humans. We don't know what these bugs have been feeding on, and then we eat the bugs. And these people are very dark and very clever that are doing this because there's enough food for everyone. We don't need to eat bugs. Birds eat bugs because chitins are in bugs. They're sharp little bits of wing and bone and body that our human body can't digest. It gets stuck and it can cause cancer because these little things stick in our intestines. Birds are fine. Birds can eat bugs because their body is designed to deal with it. You know, I think it was it mad cow disease? There was one of the diseases with farm animals in the UK that they found it was because there was ground up animals in the feed for an animal. I can't remember if it was pigs or cows, and they're meant to be sort of vegetarian. And they all got sick because there was ground up animal in it. Now, what are these bugs feeding on, Rick? I don't like this at all.
And let's face it, if you've ever been out in the wilds in Mother Nature and you've been going through a field and there's a lot of cows in there and there's a lot of manure in there, let's face it, the flies and everything are crawling all over that before who knows what they're eating into themselves. Then they get ground up and you're eating it. But here's another quick thought. Here's another quick thought. Two of the most consumed products, or at least possibly Coca-Cola being one, and say KFC chicken, for example, being a good example of a long-term consumer fast food that's eaten by the bucket load. Literally, they sell it by the bucket. If you go into KFC and you say, what's the recipe? The old, what is it they call it? The Colonel's secret recipe. If you ask KFC, what's in the Colonel's secret recipe, by the way? They'll say, we can't tell you that. It's a secret. Or if you ask for the formula for Coca-Cola, they won't tell you because it's a secret. So what the hell's in there? And yes, Pfizer, etc. is all redacted, but you think about it, the products that we consume the most, or the masses consume the most for the longest time, for over 100 odd years, they're secret recipes. We can't tell you what's in them. Who knows? It could have been
because the list is aluminium, graphene oxide, crickets.
Graphene oxide, aluminium, plastics, and a healthy dose of ground cricket. For all we know, Nicola, that could be in there because we aren't allowed to know. It's a secret. Hush, hush. So think about that, folks. Next time you want a KFC or you want to neck a bottle of Coca-Cola, there could be any old thing in there and you will never know because it's a hush, hush secret. Commercial licensing. But anyway, we've got to take a little break. We'll take a little break now. And when we come back, we'll keep chatting because we have a lot to cover here today on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
You should hear what Mark Morano is talking about.
The gas stove bans here in the United States have resurrected their ugly heads. And many states have already moved forward to eliminate gas stoves and new construction. It's just an insane world where we wake up every day and some unelected bureaucrat or executive order or bureaucratic body has decided we can't have gas-powered cars. We can't eat meat anymore. We can't control our own thermostat. During COVID, we'd wake up and find out, you know, we had stay-at-home orders, that school was canceled, the churches were closed, all on the edict of someone under an emergency power. The COVID emergency powers, they're going to be ending in May in the United States, which means, hey, the emergency ends. Isn't that great? You can plan 5-6 months ahead when your emergency is going to end. And of course, this is all about power and money, because the money flow has been unbelievable. The politicians and cities and the wealth transfer since the pandemic emergency started.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Mun and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk. TNT Radio.
Yes, I'm bouncing again, bouncing to that music. Isn't music a powerful thing, don't you think, Nicola? It's a very powerful thing. It can make you cry sometimes. It can make you want to go out and vandalize property sometimes, or it can make you want to jump up and down on the spot. Isn't it powerful, bud? Isn't it a very powerful thing?
Do you know, I actually did learn in the last 24 months how powerful music was, because when everything started going downhill here in Victoria and we were locked down, a really odd thing happened to me. I've never actually talked about this before, but I wasn't able to listen to music at all. And I used to love music. You know, I was out partying at all the raves in the 90s. I just was loving life, and I still had all that music, you know, Faithless and Ian Brown and all that, The Verve. And I wasn't able.
Love
the Verve. Even in my car, I wasn't able, I couldn't, because music I associated with happiness, and I wasn't happy. I was very, very worried, really concerned about what was happening, concerned for my kids. And actually, a month ago, my daughter put some USBs together for me, and we've started rocking out in the car again. And they just keep grabbing my hand and saying, "Mom, I'm so glad you're able to listen to music again." And it's just so powerful. Sweet. It's such a release. Yeah.
It is. I couldn't exist really, you know, in the outside world without it. When I leave the house, I have music playing constantly. I wear earphones. Some people say you shouldn't, you'll get hit by a car. I'm very aware, situationally aware of who's around me. Yeah, or a Tesla. Whether you've got earphones in or not, they can hit you. You know, you brought this up before. You said you were at a supermarket and there was a Tesla car flying towards you, but you couldn't hear it. I think you said your daughter grabbed you and stopped you from getting splattered over that extremely large fishbowl type windscreen. There's another thing about Tesla cars, actually. This has just triggered me. In the UK and Ireland, if you buy any electric vehicle now, I've just noticed this, but their number plates, you know, the number plate on the front and the back of the car, they have a large green rectangle on the left-hand side of the number plate, almost to differentiate it from any other type of vehicle, so you can identify that it's an EV. And I've noticed this with all manufacturers, especially in Northern Ireland, they all have a little green rectangle on the left-hand side of their registration. I saw it on Teslas, but yesterday I saw a few other EVs from other manufacturers, and they seem to have it too. I don't know what that's about, why they've all decided to do that. Oh, it's green, it's maybe to signify something or seed that into your minds. And the other thing
cameras.
Is, by the way,
carry
it
on.
Could be actually, yeah. No,
it's
that's
the
a
cameras,
good
well, so they don't get a charge for environmental, you know, climate stuff.
Right. Well, there you go. Because it struck me and noticed it the other day. They've all got this green rectangle. But the other thing is, you said about getting splattered by a silent EV. Okay. Those things, and listen, really? It could happen. Those things are very interesting. A lot of people buy cars, performance cars, because they like to race off the lights. You know, boy racers like to launch off the lights and leave other cars for dead. It gives them a sense of power. And, you know, I've got the fastest car. EVs are the fastest accelerating cars in the world. So a Tesla can go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in about 2.5 seconds with its launch control activated. And if you actually go onto YouTube, there's videos where people have bought them and put a dash cam on and brought their mothers and fathers and their kids out and said, check this out. And they literally, it's like taking off in a rocket. So couple that type of acceleration with the silence, and I think those things could definitely turn into killing machines, Nicola.
Yes, you've just made me realize something, because my next question to you, before you were mentioning the last thing about the acceleration, was how strangely they drive, because actually today I had cause to drive further into the countryside to collect something, and a Tesla was next to me, and you know I'm in a big slow diesel chugging 4x4 whose emissions are very low. I have to say, they've been checked. And it kept doing this weird thing, the Tesla, where, and it looked like it wanted to race me, but I thought that's pointless. Clearly, I'm not someone who should be raced. And it shot forward very fast and then slowed down and I sort of caught it up. And then it shot forward very fast and slowed down and I caught it up. And we went along like this for quite a long time. And I thought, what a very uncomfortable way to drive. But now I think it's probably someone getting used to the Tesla and using that launch function you were talking about. But I also now realize that it must have been the launch function, because when my daughter and I were almost mown down outside a supermarket by a Tesla, we were on the crossing. We were doing the right thing. We were on this big level thing and it launched across the crossing. And she had to grab me and pull me out the way. My husband, by the way, also nearly got mown down by a Tesla in the city when they first came out. And do you know this, Rick? You're not going to believe this. You're going to be so shocked. They are the third biggest selling car in Australia right now.
Hell's bells. Well, I'm seeing more of them on the roads, I must admit, because you do notice them, if you, especially when you're doing this type of business we do and we're talking about them. I have noticed more of them. There's not a lot of them, but their presence is definitely growing out there. So, yeah, that's a disturbing turn of events, that the most silent, fastest accelerating car out there that could possibly be autopiloted could be mowing us down at a zebra crossing near us soon is a very disturbing thought. Listen, we've actually got a couple of callers waiting to speak to us, so we're going to take a really quick news break here just for a minute. So callers, if you're listening in, the Spencer from Portsmouth and Janet from Queensland, just hold tight. We'll be right back after this short break and we'll have a chat with you lovely people then here on TNT Radio.
We have some wonderful news for you.
TNT Radio News.
Darren Metzer here with your TNT headlines. A trusted US journalist has exposed Washington as the mastermind behind last year's terrorist attack on Russia's Nord Stream gas pipelines. A government minister in South Korea has become the first in the country's history to be impeached, after the government was found responsible for last year's deadly crowd crush. And in a sudden turn of events, Sweden has now banned anti-Islam activists from burning the Quran, after Turkey threatened to block the country's bid to join NATO.
Silence for thinking differently? Silence for thinking differently. Not here. Silence for asking questions? Not here. Silence for discussing the other side of the story? Not on TNT Radio. Join the conversation anytime. Search TNT Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, or Gab. Download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Spencer, we got Spencer from Portsmouth on the line. Shoot, my friend, what's on your mind today?
Morning, Rick. How you doing, mate?
Doing good, thank you.
Hi, Spencer. Good. Are you the guy, Spencer, are you the guy that makes his breakfast while you talk to us?
I'm literally just making the coffee now.
Done. It's all good.
I can't. So, yeah, I've got a couple of quick things. So, Tesla, first of all, starting a new job next week. I'm in between jobs this week, hence why I'm able to give you a call every day. Next week, you won't hear from me. My boss is talking to me about a new car for work, and he offered me a plug-in electric or plug-in hybrid car on Monday and said, would this be okay with you? And my answer was, very definitely not. Thank you very much. I'll have a combustion engine, thank you. So that was that. Yesterday, I think I might have one up on you, Rick. I don't know about this. We'll find out. But I was lucky enough yesterday to meet Ian Davis in the flesh.
Very good. From the guy that I was talking to in the show?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So
that's a bit bizarre.
He's in the spot that he was in is
Oh, he's gone. Spencer?
In the morning to see down through the city. And I happened to be there at the same time. Spotted his van. Went and had a chat with him. What a lovely guy.
How bizarre is that?
One of those.
We're all linked somehow. It's
Nicola,
weird.
Nicola, I don't know if you know this, but yesterday after you went off air, I had a guest on called Ian Davis, who was sitting in a van in Portsmouth, okay? And I was saying, are you spying on the people of Portsmouth? And would you believe it? But Spencer in Portsmouth then happened upon Ian Davis in the van, and then they both had a chat. How bizarre is that?
That's cute. Yeah, we're isn't it?
What a smashing guy, by the way. And he is as he is on your show, on every show I've heard him. He's a real, real top guy. And then my last point, I just want to trigger a man-style tirade of abuse, not to me. But I think I'm just gonna set the set the fuse now and then walk away.
Yeah,
did you spot any footage yesterday, Rick, of that green t-shirted little man being clapped?
The floater.
By
the floater, I like to call him. Yeah, the floater. Zelensky,
all
the floater.
Listen, just to follow up, is when will the worm turn? When will the worm turn? Please tell me it's going to be soon.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to let you go and drink that coffee, because I'll tell you why. We'll have another caller on the line, but I'm going to address your point. Nicola and I will address that point.
Yes.
But while we're doing it, you'll be sitting listening to us and not have to feel the phlegm coming through the phone and hitting you in the face as I go into a mad rant about Volodymyr Zelensky in the UK. So go and enjoy that coffee. And thank you very much, by the way, for calling in and stirring the pot, as it were.
Thanks,
throwing
Spencer.
The hand grenade into the foxhole. And we will answer that, but let's just deal with our next caller first. Not deal with her, welcome her. Deal with her. That sounds like we're going to get rid of her or do a hit, a mafia style hit. No, we're not. Janet, don't you worry. You're safe here on TNT Radio in Queensland. How are you?
Hi, Janet.
I'm good. Thanks. I'm good. You know, I call sort of regularly. I try not to bother you, and I think, no, I won't call. I'll leave them alone. Then something gets in my goat, and I have to call. Now, when I phoned in, I couldn't hear you, and when I spoke briefly to Jeff to be waiting to put through, I couldn't hear you. It wasn't very long at all. You might have covered this, but I have a suspicion. I think that the green rectangle on the electric cars, whatever brand, may be to alert the authorities that it is electric, therefore if there's an accident and they catch fire, look
You're
out,
because right.
it's not You're your normal, it's
yes,
not
don't
your
use
normal
water.
Extinguishing process.
Yep. You're right, it's a don't
That's
use
a
water sign. Someone just messaged me while we were on air.
Oh, so you didn't speak about it, so okay, at least. All right,
thank
that's what
you.
I think that's obvious, because apparently they burn underwater.
Oh
yeah, they're lithium in the batteries. They can't be extinguished. It takes hours upon hours and tens of thousands of gallons of water to put them out. And I'm not a fireman, obviously, but they say you shouldn't treat an electric fire with water, but that seems to be what they do, because they don't have CO2 in the fire trucks. But thank you for bringing that up. And actually, Nicola, you said somebody messaged you as well as we were talking about this. And isn't it interesting? This seems to be a worldwide or a universal marking on these vehicles. I thought it was just Teslas in Northern Ireland, or it was a dealer had put this on, but it seems to be a global thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's nice that it's a cute little environmentally friendly green square, of course, whereas really it should be like a picture of like a blaze, like warning, but of course they're not going to do that because they want everything.
Their skull and crossbones.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? I'm gonna say something horrible now. A friend of mine in the automotive industry has a nickname for electric vehicles. He calls them coffins.
Yeah. And let me say this, there have been instances when these things catch fire. In fact, you know, the way we're supposed to do, like, you know, we message each other with stories we try and cover here. Well, one of the ones from weeks ago, we never got to cover it, was that Norway have banned EVs from entering ferries, as in ferrying them across water from one place to another.
Wow.
Because there was a fire on a ferry last year in Norway, and the entire thing took fire, burnt it. They all evacuated, or they all bailed off it, but the whole thing was lost because EVs went on fire in the ferry. And when those suckers go up, there's no extinguishing them, and you don't want to be in a boat
right.
that's on fire, let me just say, especially if you're actually sitting in the said vehicle. It's a death trap.
Well, let me tell you a very strange, now an interesting fact about all major construction and construction companies and design of homes in Australia. As of now, I could drive down the road and show you, every single home, every single one has a garage that's pushed inside the house and not separate. So you can imagine what's going to happen if something happens while that EV is charging.
Yeah,
is very dangerous.
It is. And also buses, they're trying to roll out fleets of EV buses as well. And they say the last place you want to sit on a bus that's an EV bus or electric powered bus or a hybrid type bus is anywhere near where the engine is. Okay. So already people are entering those buses or the battery. The big old battery. That's the thing. We're so used to what we have, which has worked and has worked for a very long time. A good old reliable diesel or a good old reliable petrol internal combustion engine. You can't go wrong with that thing. It needs a little bit of maintenance and an oil change, and it needs a little bit of TLC. But if you treat it well, like my last car, let me say this, my last car, I got 240,000 miles, not kilometers, miles out of that sucker. 16 years I was driving it, and I sadly had the, it died on me about 6 months ago, and I replaced it, but there was no problem with it, and I never had to worry about it going on fire. Just was a little bit noisy in the cold winter mornings when I was starting it up, but that's the only problem it ever gave me, Nicola. Rather than worrying about going up in flames when you switch that thing on, that's not for me, thanks.
And you talk about being run over, nearly run over on the crossing by, you know, a Tesla. Well, what if that's an electric bus? That's a whole different kettle of fish. You know, you're essentially turning people who have good hearing into deaf people. That's what you do with electric vehicles. We all become deaf to traffic because the traffic has no noise. And so I think that's a very dangerous side of this that hasn't been addressed. The catching fire, so you can't go on ferries in Norway. Very dangerous side of this. Garages being inside homes now. And of course, with EVs, you're going to want one of those garages because you're going to want the electricity charging station out of the rain. You know, there's that famous picture on the internet, isn't there, Rick, of that, I don't know where it is, I think it's America, it's an electricity to charging station, a public one, and there's like 20 of them in a row, and it's underwater because it rained. And it says, off you go.
You see, we're talking EVs, and it seems to be there's things that we see in common. So we're seeing these number plates, we're seeing these green rectangles, and you're commenting on, you know, what about charging them? You know, do you want to charge them from your house? Do you want to stick it in a garage? Where will the charging ports be? Where I live, okay, and I live in a so-called city, but there's only about 120,000 people in it. It doesn't take much to be branded a city where I live. I could literally count on the fingers of one hand the amount of EV charging stations that I know of in public places. I'm kidding you not. I could name four, and I'm not talking about four individual charging places. I'm talking about two places with 2 points at each place to charge EVs, okay? Yeah. They're just simply not here. So even if people do manage to transition towards EVs and they're going down this route, or they're railroading people down this route, the infrastructure is absolutely not there to sustain it. Because you know what it's like, there's actually a psychological condition now called charging anxiety with people that own electric cars. They fear that they won't have enough charge to get them from A to B. And like mobile phone users, people like to know that they're in the green. You know, they like it when the battery's on green rather than on yellow or on red. So they'll charge and charge and charge. Airports, people are fighting for plugs. There's charging ports everywhere. People like to charge their phones. That's the way they are with the cars. And now they're getting a condition called charging anxiety of their battery levels.
They'll need some pharmaceuticals for that.
Yeah, they will. But Pfizer will
Pfizer
be working
will be
in
right
conjunction with Tesla. And whenever you buy a new EV next year, that Musk, by the way, apparently is revealing, and he calls it, tell me this isn't sinister, phase 3 of the master plan for sustainable development in energy on the 1st of March, I believe. Maybe it's a partnership with Pfizer that when you buy a new EV or a new Tesla, you get a year's supply of antidepressants and sedatives to stop you from getting charging anxiety if you think your Tesla's going to run out of steam, or worse still, go up in a puff of smoke. Anything's possible, isn't it?
Look, you might have fear of not having enough charge, but what you should also fear is the bloody bill, because they want everything electric. So your cooking's going to be electric, your heating's going to be electric, your living room's going to essentially be like a little microwave oven. We've seen that's extraordinary stuff coming out. They want your car to be electric, the buses will be electric. I've not heard of any electric aeroplanes yet. I don't know when they'll be coming. But, you know, we're going to have some very expensive electric bills going on. I really don't. I know it's because they want to be able to switch it off, but you know what? I'm just wondering if we'll reach a point where they start, because you talk about there's not many charging stations, right? I just wonder if we're going to reach a point, and this will devastate me, when you turn the corner to your favorite gas station, fuel stop, and they've closed it down because they want you to go electric. So, you have to drive with your diesel another 5 kilometers to get diesel because we're closing them all. I don't think that's going to happen because all of these places are, what is it, when they're individually owned, they're all, what's it called, Rick?
Autonomous, no.
No. You know, when it's a big company, like it's the big supermarket, Coles, Servo, but it's individually owned.
Franchised.
Franchise, thank you. My brain's not working well today. So you know, these franchisees, they're not going to close down because someone tells them to. And if they're running it well and it's making money, no one's going to force them to close it down. And there's no charging stations for EVs, and that battery is dangerous. How are they going to ever do this to us? Why are they continuing with these EVs? There's something else in it. I'm not sure we've connected all those dots yet, but there's something else in this EV push.
Yeah, there is. And you mentioned as well, just as we're coming up to another little break here, you mentioned as well about the price of electricity. And, you know, EVs were always marketed up until a few years ago as much cheaper alternative to petrol and diesel because the price of fuel's going up, 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 which it is. And it's geared that way. They can cut it down if they want to because the wholesale prices of oil have dropped, but our petrol at the pump prices is still sky high. But EVs, the cost of actually charging now with the price of electricity is astronomically high. And there has been U-turns done by the British government right now that when you originally bought an EV, you were exempt from paying any road tax on it. And there was favorable taxation benefits should you decide to take it, for example, as a company car. A Spencer was offered, but now Jeremy Hunt has said no, there will be a Tesla tax on all electric vehicles going forward, and they will have to pay road tax. The bill could be as much as £600 a year for some vehicles. Now, if you bought a car, Nicola, on the basis that for the next 5 years you weren't going to pay any road tax or it wasn't going to cost you any extra, then the government, you turned on it and said actually it'll be £600 a year by 5 years, which is $3,000. I would say you wouldn't be a happy bunny as a consumer, but what are you going to do? You're stuck with that thing, and there's you know, there's no getting rid of it.
No, it's interesting that we have so many people called Hunt in government. You have a Jeremy Hunt and we have a Greg Hunt. Very interesting word. Yeah, that's very like in Australia, they said, oh, get all these solar panels, and people remortgage their houses to get six, and each panel was 10 grand each. So that's 60 grand on your mortgage. And they were like, woohoo, when you get six, you can save 9K a year on your power bills, right? Even though they jack it in now to the main system. But then they flipped on it and said, oh, you've got an unfair advantage over people who don't have solar panels, so we're going to tax you. Guess what? $9,000 a year.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Actually, you're not better off. It's all a scam, Rick.
It's a scam. We had a scamdemic for the last 2 to 3 years with so-called COVID, and now we're having the mother of all scams, the climate scamdemic, which is going to nobble us and rip us off, or attempt to anyway, in so many ways, shapes, and forms. But yeah, let's pause on this one. We've got to take a real quick break. If there's anyone out there, there's still time to call in with another 14 minutes left on the show. So if anything we've been discussing tickles your fancy, you feel motivated to share your experiences with us, please do so. The numbers will play, hopefully, after this little break here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
The end is near. The end is nigh.
Oh, no, not again. Yes, again. The Doomsday Clock.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Experts are once again warning of end times.
Well, the end of the world, we're being told, is now closer than ever it's ever been.
The scientists behind the fabled Doomsday Clock believe the war in Ukraine, disease, and climate change have us on the brink of annihilation.
Disease, climate change, Ukraine war?
The Ukraine war is actually plausible given the escalation of conflict between a nuclear power. Diseases have always been with us, and well, climate change has always been with us too. When it comes to climate, this is just more doomsday nonsense. The Doomsday Clock people are using this to control us, and as part of the Great Reset. Reject the Great Reset. Reject the climate-induced Doomsday Clock. Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
How hard is it to unlock your car? Not hard. How hard is it to shut your car door? Not hard. How hard is it to start your car? Not hard. How hard is it to put your seatbelt on? People are still dying in car accidents because they were not wearing a seatbelt, which is stupid because it's not that hard. Smarten up, buckle up. Think road safety. A message from the Government of South Australia.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Rick Munn now. From the US and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm getting a poked, as it were, by Spencer, a little prod in the old messages
I've
here
got
to
an
say,
don't. For him.
Yeah, don't forget about Zelensky.
Yes.
Have you seen the footage that has come out of his visit to Downing Street and Westminster, and the gushing that's being done, talking about him being a hero and an inspiration, and invoking the spirit of Winston Churchill? Come on, Nicola. What, are people really that daft? I mean, I know some people will eat up anything that's set in front of them, but these sycophants that are playing their roles on the pantomime stage, they don't respect Zelensky. They know he's a little sponging little worm, the same way as we do, but they are so shallow, Nicola, and they're such horrific actors that they put on these smiles and they're applauding him, giving rounds of applause. They know he's a little rat as well as everybody else. They're just putting on a face, are they not?
Yes, they are. And I think the reason, though, that they're being nice to him is because he is currently the CEO of all of their offshore bank accounts. So this guy and his country is not only holding, you know, they're like a gangster. This is like Goodfellas, right? He's holding all of the world's money from the Western world, the Five Eyes nations. All of us have sent every tax cent we've got spare over to this guy. And he's there. There's also in Ukraine, you know, a lot of level four. My mom used to work in a lab for 30 years, level four laboratories. So let's assume they've got money and they've got bioweapons. And I don't know why he's been put in that position, because he was clearly selected and not elected.
Selected.
But just, I wanted to answer what Spencer said before. Oh, people aren't still buying this, are they? Yada, yada. Well, this is incredible. You sent this to me this morning, Rick. It's on the government website, a declaration between the government of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland and the government of Ukraine. And it says the UK and Ukraine are united in a shared belief that nations should be sovereign, interesting, democratic, interesting, and free. Really? Okay. And so it goes on to talk about Russia's unprovoked attack and everything. So now, without a referendum, now the UK needed a referendum for Brexit to leave Europe, right? That was huge. I believe it was so good they did it twice. Now we don't get a referendum for a declaration. This is like the Magna Carta. What is this declaration on the government website between the UK, Northern Ireland, and Ukraine? What's that about, Rick?
Well, there's a document, as you know, on the Gov website that you've read a little bit of an intro from. We'll come back and that'll tell you why. We've actually got another caller on the line. We've got Bernie from the UK. Maybe she's going to talk about this, or he. It could be he or a she. Bernie from UK.
Hi, Bernie.
What's going on? What's the word on the street?
Hey, good morning. How are you both? Nice to hear you.
Yes,
and,
you too.
Nice to be speaking to two ends of the world, which I know too well, Nicola. I used to live in Australia, in Melbourne, years and years ago. I was at university there. But
wonderful.
Great listening to TNT. Been listening to you for a year or so, and fantastic program all around.
Great.
So many good people on TNT. So
thank you.
Fab.
Thank you.
Nice calling about the Tesla. I bought one new in 2016, Model S, loved it, and I've just sold it. Never really had any problems with it. It was fantastic drive, 0 to 16, 2.8 seconds or whatever it was, slow by the newer ones. Never had problems charging it. I bought it with a free charging for life package on it, so which is fantastic. So anywhere I drove, right around Europe, you could charge it up for nothing. So you paid no road tax, paid nothing for charging. When I charged it at home, obviously I paid for it, but paid nothing on the road. and it's free to drive into London, because there was no congestion charge on the electric cars at that point. I think there probably still isn't. And actually, yeah. You could park in Westminster for 8 hours if you wanted to, free on the meters. So quite a lot of, I mean, I didn't buy it for any green reasons. I bought it because I loved the idea of having a saloon car that you could drive really fast and accelerate more than your mind can cope with.
Respect.
That's the kind of point we were making earlier on, but not the 60 time in 2.8 that could outrun a Porsche 911 Turbo, but yet it's a family saloon car. That was the big attraction with it. People love that acceleration. So, yeah, you were attracted by the sound of it.
But it was really amusing because I was a fairly early adopter, and people just thought I was buying a milk float and nuts. And then you had people that didn't know the car when you were standing at traffic lights, and they want to, you know, give you a boy race job. Of course, you can't put your foot down to sort of rev because it does nothing happen. So they think you're not playing. And then as you leave the lights, it doesn't happen. It didn't happen anymore. The first year or so it did. As you leave the lights, you're off there before they've even put their foot in acceleration. They end up distant and they're furious. And after a while, it just stopped. People realize it's not worth taking these cars on. You're never going to win.
Do you work for Tesla? Just tell us. Do you work for Tesla?
No, God, no. No, honestly, I don't. Their engineers are lovely people, but the after-sales service is utter rubbish. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you sell it?
Come out, nice. I sold it because, so my father died in June up in Scotland. I had to drive up fast, and you know, it brought it home to me that I could do a sort of normally what was an 8-hour journey in about 7, because it could go quite fast. But then I had to stop for 3 hours to charge it, and it just, you know, when I was in a hurry to get up there, that wasn't, you know, and I knew I'd have to go up again, and it was 6.5 years old. The battery warranty for what that's worth was 8 years, and it was beginning to get, and occasionally I'd have to wait a bit to charge. It was quite rare, but I had to, and I just
like
thought,
a
you
phone.
Know, that technology, yeah, it's a bit old, needs upgrading, and so I thought, well, I'll buy another one, and then it was 6 months to a year for the one that I wanted that had genuinely sort of, because I could do 200 miles from New on it, but never do more than just over 220 miles. It said 300, but it never did it.
Right.
And that was just not enough, you know. So you have a rocket that goes 200 miles, but it's just a bit of, it was fun. I really enjoyed it, but I missed that bit, but I didn't miss the yesterday. And
we'll
there is brain
for.
Anxiety you're talking about, Rick.
Yeah, so
that's
funny.
Like,
I've got a Skoda Kodiaq.
Yeah, but this is the thing,
really,
okay? And I got my fix of acceleration back when I used to be a boy racer myself. So I used to have when I worked for the insurance business, I bought a Subaru Impreza 4-wheel drive turbocharged car, which back at the time it did not the 60 in 5 seconds. I loved smoking people off the lights. I loved blasting people off the road while I was out doing my professional job. It was great. It gave me a thrill, but I was also paying about £800 a month in super unleaded fuel, getting it serviced every few months and putting tires on it at an alarming rate of knots. So the attraction, that buzz that you get flying off the lights and smoking people in the road, you realize it's a very expensive habit. You'd be cheaper mainlining heroin or doing crack cocaine to get a high rather than owning either an EV or a Subaru Impreza Turbo. So yes, I get you. The running costs catch up with you and the sheen does wear off and the old range anxiety kicks in as well. Bernie, we're going to have to stop there because we're coming up to the news. Just in a few minutes, I could talk to you a little bit more about this. In fact, if you're listening tomorrow and you want to continue this story, by all means, give us a call back in. But it kind of underscores the points we were making earlier about the range anxiety and the attraction of the acceleration. But those things ultimately do come with a price. So a big thank you to Bernie for calling in and just corroborating our stories, as it were. Interesting that, Nicola, isn't it? The old psychology of launching off the lights and that thing that's maybe it's a man thing. I don't know if it's a man thing, but we need to feel like we're king of the road and we can out accelerate you. Nobody else really cares about it, but us men, it seems to be something that's hardwired into us. What do you think?
I think so, because I prefer a vehicle and drive a vehicle that would just drive over your Tesla or your Subaru. And you know, you wouldn't need to beat me off the lights. I'd just climb over you and drive. I like kind of monster trucks with massive wheels. But yeah, no, I really wanted to know what he swapped it for. That's what I wanted to ask, because he wanted to drive fast and he wanted to try the new Tesla. And he sounded quite posh and like he might be quite well off. So I was interested if he bought a Porsche or something like that. But yeah, really interesting and so great. great, you know, that talking about EVs and Teslas gets people to ring in. So thanks so much for that, because obviously we talk about it because we nearly got run over by it, but we don't know what it's like to actually own one and drive one. So you're absolutely correct to ring in and tell us about that. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you're still listening, Bernie, by the way, yes, it's just we're coming up to the news and we'll have to wrap up the show, etc. So we couldn't get into a longer conversation, unfortunately. But if you're listening tomorrow, Nicola's on even an hour before I join in the UK. She's on from 7 a.m. UK time. Feel free to call back and certainly we can continue the conversation. You can tell us about what you changed it for. Were you ever worried about the thing catching fire? And of course, the expensive cost of replacing the battery, allegedly. Some Tesla drivers have been slapped with a $20,000 bill if they need to actually change the battery in the vehicle, which is eye-watering at the best of times. So that's something else to factor in when you're buying one of these things: the range anxiety, the charging anxiety, the fire anxiety, and of course, the exorbitant running costs with the price of electricity going up and these free charging for life packages maybe not available at this point in time. So to all the people that called in, to Bernie, to Janet, and to Spencer, we really appreciate your input. For all the people in the live chat, sorry, I haven't been able to monitor it the way I normally do. It's just been very busy here on air this morning. It's good. It's a good problem to have. And Nicola, of course, thank you very much for all your input today. Of course, it's been wonderful.
You're welcome.
And hopefully we'll get talking again tomorrow. You have a lovely evening. I'll be back after the news with, who have I got? David Nolan from Stop Common Pass in the UK. So more of this to come. Don't go away. This is TNT Radio.